Welcome back to the Tales of Two Cities podcast. I'm Brad Bailey, and I'll be your host this week. This week's episode is all about music. We begin in Richmond, where the Contra Costa Chorale highlights the musical heritage of African and African-American cultures.
Every time they sing a spiritual, they're not just singing it because it's a beautiful song. They're singing it because they know that this is really, really important historically.
To Oakland, where we'll hear from some of the city's most passionate groupies.
A transcendent emotional experience for me. It's religious, and I'm not a religious guy, but it is.
And inside Oakland schools, where an innovative program immerses students in music production.
Seeing other people on stage singing inspired me, but really it was just my family that helped me through it.
To a group of Bay Area students in Oakland who are passionate about music, but is not Justin Bieber.
Orchestra is just a great way to express yourself and kind of connect cultures from globally all over the place.
All of that and more coming up on the Tales of Two Cities podcast. The first story today is from Matt Beagle, who talked to Springsteen fans at a recent concert in Oakland to find out what drives a person to follow a band all over the world.
Do you have that one friend that's so obsessed with a certain band, they dedicate a good portion of their life to following them, and you're kind of thinking to yourself, what's wrong with you? I'm a big music fan, but I've never understood that kind of obsession. So a few weeks ago, I went to talk to some of the most dedicated folks out there, Bruce Springsteen fans.
Back up a little bit.
Several hours before his concert in Oakland, I found a bunch of them standing in the pouring rain.
How many shows have you seen Lifetime?
Probably 100.
I would estimate about between 130 and 140.
Uh-huh. 230.
No.
Sí.
Somewhere over 300.
It's going to be my 387th.
387. I've seen the Dave Matthews Band like 10 times, and they're not even my favorite band. But it was the early 2000s, and we were all doing it. I kept trying to ask people, what is it really all about? And a bunch of serious fans have at least one defining Springsteen moment that changed their life. One woman in line was with her husband and grown daughter.
In 1985, we went to see Bruce at the Coliseum, LA, the Born in the USA tour. We went all four nights in a row, and she was conceived on the second night.
Then, there's Bay Area reporter and J-School professor Tom Peel. His number of Springsteen shows? 249.
In 1985, in September, for reasons that I won't get into, I got in the car and started driving.
Okay. That right there is the first line of a great Springsteen song. Tom says that after a breakup with his girlfriend, he left New York with no plan and headed west. He made it all the way to Indiana. The Born in the USA tour was going to be at the football stadium in Indianapolis, so he headed there and bought a ticket off a scalper.
And it was hot. It was like this record heat wave. It was like after Labor Day, and it was like 105 degrees in Indianapolis. And people were, you know, almost literally dying from this heat.
He was hanging around the lobby where the band was staying when the elevator opens up. And it's Bruce's guitar player, Nils Lofgren.
Great guitar player, played with Neil Young. I'm like, oh, what the hell? Start trying to chat the guy up as he's walking out of the lobby. And for some reason, I don't know where the hell this came from, I said, hey, you know, it's so damn hot. Why don't you guys play Santa Claus is Coming to Town tonight? Give everybody at least some metaphorical relief from the heat. And he's like, yeah, whatever, kid, get away from me. Go in, sit in the upper deck by myself for this Born in the USA stadium show. And he gets right to the end. And he was like, somebody told Nils we should play this. And they played Santa Claus is Coming to Town in September in Indianapolis. It was like, holy shit, I just got the E Street Band to play a song. That was kind of cool.
Maybe that's what it's all about for Bruce fans. You're young, lost, searching for purpose and belonging. You fall in love with the music, and you figure that if you can discover what kind of music you love, maybe you can figure out other parts of your life too.
I think it's about being in the backseat of a convertible when you're 19 in a beach town in the summer, and it feels like no matter where you're going someplace better.
It's sort of like a cross between going to see an old friend and going to church.
It's phenomenal. You can't even put it into words. He has such a command over the audience.
Because when you're inside, it's a transcendent emotional experience for me. It's religious, and I'm not a religious guy, but it is.
And just like going to church, there are sacred traditions at a Springsteen show. When he plays Dancing in the Dark, he always brings someone up on stage. Fans pass homemade signs up to the band requesting old and obscure songs for them to play. And then, of course, there's Hungry Heart. Every time he plays that song, Bruce walks out into the audience on a raised catwalk, then does a trust fall into the crowd. Here's Tom Peel again.
I think to him it's like this kind of total, like, trust of the fans, like, here's my body. Right. And you guys can drop me, but I know you're not going to drop me. So get me back up on the stage and I can keep going.
Just before people entered the concert, I got a few fans to sing one of Springsteen's most beloved songs. Enjoy this outro. For the Tales of Two Cities podcast, I'm Matt Beagle.
Screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances.
Across the porch, she dances as the radio plays. Warrior Orbison sings for the lonely.
It's me and I want you only.
On again, I just can't face myself alone again.
That's really good. That's awesome. Thank you.
Earlier this year, I visited the Contra Costa Corral in Richmond as they prepared pieces celebrating African American culture for the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act and the March in Selma, Alabama. Here's what I heard. That's the Contra Costa Corral performing their rendition of the classic American spiritual, Ain't That Good News. This year, the Corral celebrates their 50th anniversary, and director Cindy Beitman talks about this milestone and the inspiration for the group's music.
Back in 1965, I believe, it started out as the Richmond Symphony Chorus, and there was actually a symphony in Richmond that performed at the Memorial Auditorium. And so they started this choir that was actually used with the orchestra, and then it started to morph into more of its own independent group, and was at some point or another supported by the Contra Costa College.
The Corral performs a vast selection of music, and in the current concert series, takes a new direction to highlight African folk songs and African American spirituals.
I like to mix it up a little bit for the singers, because for them to be narrow and just do classical or just do pop is not my idea of keeping a well-rounded group. And through doing this concert, this is the first time they've done anything like this, African music. They've done spirituals before, but not African music, and this whole going from one end to the other. It's been a real learning experience for all of them, especially learning the languages. So through this, they have started to grow a community.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights March in Selma, Alabama, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Beitman believes that this is an opportunity to commemorate these historic moments.
Well, the whole thing started when I realized what an important year this was for the African American. Everyone in this choir has gained knowledge about the fact that a spiritual is just not a spiritual. It's got so much history to it and it's important history, and it's important that every time they sing a spiritual, they're not just singing it because it's a beautiful song. They're singing it because they know that this is really, really important historically, and through the history of slavery in America, what beauty came from that.
The chorale recently performed with the Harlem Globetrotters, and they are offering a limited number of free tickets to encourage more residents of Richmond to take advantage of their performances.
We love Richmond. I love Richmond. And I don't want to live anywhere else because I think the community is so strong and so wonderful. So I feel it's my duty to do this for Richmond. And the chorale is just the perfect instrument, so to speak, to bring people in and let them experience what it is to hear live choral music.
The Contra Costa Chorale is busy preparing for their In Praise of Music Gala 50th Anniversary Concert on May 14th and 15th, 2016. For more information, visit cccchorale.org. And now, we'll travel to Oakland, where an innovative program is bringing instruments and music education to Oakland schools. At Roots International Academy in East Oakland, the school's music program is in its second year. By participating in the Little Kids Rock program, a nonprofit partially funded by Pandora, teacher Brian Alvarez brings in musical instruments and laptops for students to learn music composition and production. Erica Alvero reports.
My name is Calvin Evans, and I am in the eighth grade. Me just being at church, and I just look at the drummer, and then just plays, and he just makes rhythms with the song. It just got me into it. I just asked my teacher that, can I just be in music class? And he was like, sure. I love creating stuff and creating stuff as a class.
My name is Luz Castrojón Zamorano, and my grade is 7th grade. I play the piano. I got into this class because last year I used to play a lot of instruments, and I wanted to try it again. It's nice because I get to learn more things that I didn't know before.
My name is Amari, and I'm in the eighth grade. I started off with the drums, and then that's when Ms. Alvarez told me to play the guitar and practice. So that's when I tried out the guitar, and I thought I wouldn't like it, but and I started getting better and better because I played all night. It helps me calm down when I'm like angry or something.
Our last piece comes from Catherine Rose, who spent an afternoon with the Oakland Symphony Youth Orchestra earlier this year, as they rehearsed for their February concert. Here's Catherine.
My name is Sam Troxell. I'm a senior at Castro Valley High School, and I play bassoon.
I'm Margaret Zhang. I'm 16, and I'm from Miramonte High School. I play cello.
Every
Every Sunday afternoon, students from around the Bay Area come together to rehearse as part of the Oakland Symphony Youth Orchestra. It's a branch of the Oakland Symphony that performs year-round, with students aged 12 to 22. Omid Zufanoun is the principal conductor, a job he finds both challenging and rewarding.
As a youth orchestra conductor, it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle. You want to make sure they're doing real repertoire, not watered-down stuff. For this particular concert, I chose Beethoven's Fifth Symphony because we hadn't yet done a Beethoven symphony, had not yet done a classical symphony from that era of composition. So it's time. It's time to do that.
Many students in the East Bay, classical music isn't a part of their lives. Music programs often come and go with the economy, which is why outlets like these are so important. In this orchestra, members travel from across the Bay Area to Oakland and strike a balance between Beethoven and their busy schedules.
Actually, you know, all these students have school Monday through Friday, and they're giving up their Sunday to show up here every week, and some of them come from really far distances, which is admirable. So it can't be just one more school day. It's got to be something that actually entices them and makes them want to show up.
Zufanoun says he caters his teaching style to each student. He jokes with some and pushes others.
Really, for me, the most rewarding part of it is when I see things click during rehearsals. It's an incredible feeling, partly because of your own involvement with it, but more than that because, you know, any conductor knows that they're not the ones making the sound.
While Zufanoun's focus is on the music, for the students, it's much more.
Orchestra is just a great way to express yourself and kind of connect cultures from globally all over the place.
It's not competitive, but it's motivating. And so you really push yourself and you really go that extra mile to really keep up with everyone else.
And that healthy competition can lead to something great, a powerful performance.
The Oakland Symphony Youth Orchestra is gearing up for their spring concert on May 22nd. Musicians from ages 12 to 22 can audition for the orchestra this May. For more information, visit oaklandsymphony.org. And that's it for this episode of The Tales of Two Cities. We hope you enjoyed the episode about music in the East Bay. Who is your favorite local musician? Let us know. Comment on our SoundCloud account, write to us on Facebook, or tweet at us. Our producer this week is Catherine Rose. Our music is by Kevin McLeod. You can listen to our podcast on oaklandnorth.net, richmondconfidential.org, and on SoundCloud. And you can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. I'm Brad Bailey. Thank you for listening to the Tales of Two Cities podcast.